Allow me just to give some background to the meeting today and tomorrow. We will be dealing with receiving public submissions today and tomorrow on the aspect of water quality, and in particular drinking water quality. 2 years ago, the Portfolio Committee on Water Affairs and Forestry held, I would term it mini hearing on more broader water quality and water security, and we looked at all different aspects, both in relation to drinking water and beyond. And the committee had quite a number of different role players that appeared before it, all of them playing an important role within the aspect of water quality and water, water security. This time, we're not necessarily going to focus more broadly on all of that. We will be dealing in the main with water quality issues, in particularly drinking water quality. What we have also decided to do is we have asked the Department of Water Affairs and Forestry to inform us who are all the different municipalities in particular that are not complying with regards to the norms and standards that have been set. We've invited all of them to appear before this committee, and the majority of them are supposed to do so today. So that's the one group of people that we have asked. Because we've opened up the public hearings to the public also, we have received public submissions from various different people, and you will see that on the program. So our focus is not necessarily the same as the last time, but of course that it's not excluded from that, in the sense that we need to take stock of what we did 2 years ago and what we anticipate the outcome of today and tomorrow will be. So there's been a couple of changes on the program, honorable members. Dwarf is not going to speak now. They're not going to speak tomorrow morning also. They will speak close to the end of tomorrow, and reflect both on progress that has been made on between the last session that we had 2 years ago, and also I'm sure enlighten us on many other things in relation to the responsibility that the Department of Water Affairs and Forestry has. Now, honourable members, we have asked quite a long list of municipalities to come today. We've got here today those that have responded today is the city of Umhlathuzi in KwaZulu-Natal, Nkomazi in Mpumalanga. And then the other submission that we will have is from the Water Caucus. Before I go into telling you about the state of the other people that we asked to appear, we, as you know, honourable members, we are receiving the President of Nigeria today, and there will be a joint sitting. So after lunch, we will have to go to the joint sitting, with the President of Nigeria being here. Just back to the program again for today. Now, when we made contact with all of them, we were understood that they will appear today. Now, subsequent to that, these are the messages that we have received from these various municipalities. I've mentioned you the two that are here. The municipality from the Northern Cape has asked to come tomorrow. That's the San Sabahani local municipality. The municipality in Utugula in KwaZulu-Natal, we don't have any confirmation that they are coming, and we would want to follow up with them. Mkanyakudi, same. The municipality in the Free State, we had no response from them. That's the Letsemeng local municipality, the Kwathe municipality also in the Free State. We don't have confirmation that they are coming, as well as the other municipality in the Free State. Then the Krasani district municipality in the Eastern Cape has asked to come tomorrow. The O.R. Tambo district municipality in the Eastern Cape, we don't have any confirmation from them. In fact, I don't think they will come, as well as Capricorn, as well as Polokwane, local municipality has asked to come tomorrow, and Mopani, who is supposed to come today, I doubt it very much, is here. That means, honorable members, I need your response on what do we do with all of them that are not here and that are not coming. Those that have asked to come tomorrow, we've agreed that they can do that because I think they've honored the courtesy of at least asking, can they come tomorrow? In reality, this is what it will mean, that we will receive the submissions by the two municipalities and the other organization called the Water Caucus and have no one else thereafter in terms of the responses that we have received. And therefore, honorable members, I think your decision is obviously required within this. From our office, this is what we have done. By late yesterday, when we heard all sorts of stories, we've asked that a letter goes to them to tell them that they must come, that they can't just not come. And so some of them have asked to come tomorrow. Others, we simply just don't know. I think, honorable members, you would agree with me when I say that we have put together this public hearing not because we don't think we don't have anything else to do. We've put together this public hearing because we would agree that the responsibility of the members of parliament is to make sure that the quality of life of people continues to be improved, and therefore I'll focus on that. Who other than the ones that we have asked to appear before us can tell us whether that indeed is the case? We've been extremely concerned when we heard that there are some that are not complying. The only people that can clarify that to us are the actual municipalities themselves, have the responsibility of ensuring that they deal with water services, as well as the added responsibility of ensuring that they are qualitative. So I think, honorable members, before we ask anyone else to make any submission, just so that we can decide how do we proceed with this meeting, if you could just reflect.
I must say it's very disgusting. The biggest problem in this country we sit with in the water problems we have is in the municipalities. It is not the Department of Water Affairs, it is not the dams, it is not the water boards, it is the municipalities. And again, these municipalities are not arriving. And honestly, I think we have to well, I think we must summon them, actually, because it is in our powers to summon them. Yeah, and bring them in front of us. Because if they didn't come to us and tell us what is the problem, how must we know what is the problem? Then we can't speak to the minister, we can't speak to the Minister of Public Works and say, go to that municipality, there's a problem. So from my side, I just want to put it on record that broadcasting from these municipalities not to come and appear in front of us. And you can go and check. Is mostly, most of these is the municipalities where the problem is. And now they don't want to come. So it's very, very bad, Chairman.
Honorable Van
Rooyen. Thank you, Chairperson. Let me first raise my other discussion concern. Why the Free State didn't even respond to the invitation. I think that is totally irresponsible of these municipalities. And I think the committee, the portfolio committee, of which I'm not part of, but the select committee, must use everything in their power to bring these people to come and account for that. But I think it is irresponsible, and I must again raise my concern, why nobody in the Free State, from which province I am, didn't even respond. I think it is totally disgusting.
Let me just assist the member by saying it's not that they didn't respond, the response is they're not coming. Honorable Mayina?
Chairperson, this I think brings us back to the concern that you have municipalities that controls water, and you don't have any other person in the provinces on the second layer. Now you have municipalities that think that they do not account to parliament or to the minister. Now I think we have to make it very clear. You have to make sure that all of these municipalities that were informed get a letter today or information that we are not begging. We want them here because we want to know what's happening on the water issues. You just have to make sure that they understand that we are not really praying. We are saying they have to be here. Thanks.
Any other member? Do I take it that that's the view of the committee, that those that we can get here today still, they must come? Otherwise, they must be here tomorrow. If they are not here tomorrow, then the relevant constitutional provisions and legislative provisions would apply to those that are not here. And I think they are very clear, honorable members. If we ask anyone to come and they, it doesn't matter what they say, if they don't come, then it means the constitutional provision will apply. And that means that you subpoena them. Parliament is like a court, you see. You decide not to come, we subpoena you. And that subpoena means you get to the speaker and all of these things. So I think we will, our honourable members, if you agree, the session is today and tomorrow. From the reasons that I heard, I'm really not convinced that they are reasons. Somebody can't tell me they can't come here because they're going to a workshop. They're going to a workshop. You can't tell me things like that. So I think, honourable members, what we simply will do is I will echo your sentiments, and that is the decision of the meeting is that we are totally disgusted. We are outraged. We think that they're not serious when it comes to the provision of ensuring a quality of life and by providing safe, clean drinking water, and that we simply do not accept as a portfolio committee that they have not pitched here today, and will accordingly communicate to them that they will come tomorrow. If they fail to come tomorrow, then we will apply the legislative provisions that and constitutional provisions that are open to us when anyone refuses to come. And in this instance, of course, we will be sensitive to the fact that and look at if there's an outright refusal, or whether there are any legitimate reasons that are being given. But safe to say, we still want them to come and say something about this issue. Now, that decision that you took, that we took now, honourable members, that means we'll see how we go up to lunchtime. And then after lunch, as I said, there's a joint sitting, which will probably be from 2 till 3. And do I take it that after the joint sitting that we will not come back here, that we come back here?
Chairperson, I think we can come back if there's any extras arriving during the day. I mean, some of them may be still in the traffic or something like that. But if there's no one after 3, I think then can we... I mean, the secretaries can just check, but roundabout by 3 o'clock.
Fine, honourable members, that the meeting will obviously proceed after the joint sitting on the basis of seeing who is here and who is not here. Is that fine? After that stormy start, like the weather outside, we are, however, still proceeding. Let me welcome Mshatuzi that is here. Let me welcome Mkumazi Local Municipality. Thank you very much for honoring our request for coming here. Let me see who else is here. The Water Caucus, are they here? Are they sitting over there? No. Somebody's showing to me there, any case. Doesn't look like it. Okay, this is much better. Let me welcome people properly. I've seen Patuzi already. There is a representative from Bloom Water. Thank you very much, ma'am, for coming. There's somebody from Sasol.
Chairperson?
Yes.
I'm not from Sasol, but I just want to indicate that Buffalo City is in Cape Town. They're on their way.
Thank you.
There's two representatives that are coming through. I don't think they've actually arrived yet.
Okay. Thank you very much. But you're not from Sasol as well. Okay. It's a pity you're not from Sasol. Just ask you some petrol before the price goes up. A dwarf in the Western Cape, represented by Mr. Khan, Rashid Khan, welcome. Dwarf Eastern Cape, represented by Ms. Is this M.M.? No, Kwa. Thank you for that assistance. Dwarf from the head office, I think led by the director, the deputy director general, Tandeka Mbasa, and the rest of the endeavor, and everyone else that is there, that I'm not mentioning by name. You are welcome to this session. Everyone else that I did not welcome by name, you are also welcome, including the media. May I ask Mshatuzi to give us their presentation, please? Thank you very much.
Chair, thank you very much for this opportunity to do this presentation on our members. Thank you for listening to us. First of all, I'd like to tender an apology of our mayor, Councillor Sikali Mpingai. She can unfortunately not be here. You've asked myself and Mr. Slera to attend. And if we can carry on, I'm the city engineer. My name is Frick Bosman. There you can see the organigram. All the branches under my control, roads and building, project management, that is related to water sanitation, water services authority. Deputy City Engineer is Mr. Slela next to me. We will also assist with the presentation. Water service provider, we've got a very large water service provider function and support services. And we have quite a major budget of about, I think, the latest one about 1 billion. per year, so quite a sizable operation. Then we will zoom in on the water supply system, general characteristics of the system, extensive bulk treatment and storage infrastructure. We're doing our, first of all, maybe just to make sure you all know where Mhlatuzi municipality is, that is the old Richards Bay, Mpangeni, University of Zululand, Isakadeni, Ngwalazan, and Seleni areas, about 180 kilometers north of Durban, Tukwini on the Natal coast. We are very lucky to have a large river, various freshwater coastal lakes, as indicated there, from where we draw water. Treatment facilities, we also got a water board in the area, but our internal water service provider operation about 1.3 times the size of the water board. Water board provides predominantly to industry and to the Pangeni town. There we see our treatment facilities, the water board in Sezi, Msangazi, 66 megaliters a day, Sekoweni 36, and well as on 8. Storage capacity, extensive distribution networks, good condition, and well maintained. And then if I can go to outsourcing, following a comprehensive second sanitation assessment performed during 2003, the City of Mhlatuzi resolved to outsource those water services associated with bulk water and sewage treatment and bulk distribution systems to reservoirs. The management of services associated with the reticulation was retained by the municipality and includes operations, maintenance, consumer affairs, and revenue collection. I must say, we're doing very well on the revenue collection, close to 100%. The said bulk services referred to above was outsourced through a normal public tender procurement process and a specialized ISO 14001 accredited external service provider was appointed, and to ensure contract compliance, the municipality also appointed ISO 14001 accredited engineering consultant to monitor all aspects of the service. The said consultants also ensure legal compliance in terms of the Local Government, Municipal Systems Act 32 of 2000, the Water Services Act, Labour Legislation, Safety Legislation, MFMA, and Treasury Regulations. In fact, we also have legal people in that team with the consultant to ensure that the contractor performs adequately. And in fact, I think there were some papers done on the success of the outsourcing here. And in fact, we've also received various delegations from Bangladesh not so long ago, and another one next Friday coming to look at what we're doing. Now, to address the bullets that you've raised in your invitation to attend, to be discussed here, I've asked Mr. Slera, who is our in charge of the Water Service Authority, to go through those aspects. And then I'd like to come back. You will see there's an Annexure A and an Annexure B. I think that is really your concerns on the information on the EWQ website, of some information that appears there, but we will explain to you the rationale behind it, how it happened. In fact, we are not really concerned that we transgressed anything, but it's a question of a new reporting system that must be ironed out if we follow the correct procedure there. I'll hand over to Mr. Slela.
Madam Chair and Honourable Member, and staff officials, and I will take over from Mr. Bosman. I will start with water quality, how we manage water quality as a local municipality. First and foremost, I have to indicate that all our water samples are done through the comprehensive water quality plan, which assists us as a municipality to meet all the requirements from the legislation and regulations, which are incorporated also in the WSP contract. Strictly all our, in accordance with Senate 241 and Government Notice Water Service Act, we are sampling around about 50 parameters, and that the frequency varies from 2 hours daily, weekly, fortnight, and monthly. Especially the 2 hours in daily are those ones at the water works. Samples of water associated with treatment potable water are about 13,100 per month. also includes urban and rural samples of total 246 locations in the municipal area. Most analyses and tests are performed by external accredited laboratories to ensure the legitimacy of our results. In total, 17 parameters associated with effluent treatment are monitored on a monthly basis. Still on water quality management and the challenges we are experiencing, the sample is done in an area of about 800 square kilometers. The number of samples that we are doing is 3 times more of what DWARF has set for our municipality to do. Sampling procedure includes sterilizing of tap bottles, hands, etc., and transporting of samples in cooler box. For example, our laboratory that we are using is about 200 kilometers from where these samples are being taken, which is also in question as well with regards to these most sampling areas as well. The jump case system, that is what we realized that when, for example, there has been a failure in one of the sample points, the WQMS does not facilitate reporting on findings on retesting in case of you've got some bacteriological failure, which is really a concern to us. The city of Mhlathu performs retesting as a matter of course in all cases where samples. We've got a fully fledged testing laboratory which has been established, which is under WSA in Ras Bay in town, and is currently awaiting for accreditation and staffing. These are the relationships we have with all our role players. As you can see, Water Service Authority is in the center, and all of the external water providers, internal, DWARF, and DWARF National, and DWARF Provincial. I'll take you through to what is the role vision and assistance they offer. External WSP, which at the moment we are using WSSA as our operators, their function is operation of water waste and wastewater treatment works and water quality reporting. Our internal WSP, they do maintenance and operational of regulation and water quality related activity. DWARF National, we don't have any assistance from them from now, but it's been delegated to a provincial office or regional office. DWARF Provincial support and regulation on water quality by checking compliance, 2 monthly meetings on water quality test team, which is we report back to DWARF with all the failures on WQMS. Water awareness program. On water awareness, we had a number of campaigns that we had this year and as well even last year during the Water Week to alert communities with the risk of drinking water, of drinking contaminated water. And water services official, they alert communities of the risk associated with the drinking contaminated water during ward councilor meetings. For the new financial year, which is 2008-2009, various water programs have been played in partnership for. With which for the first time we will be going as well even to the press as well as to the media to inform them if there are any failures in our water regulation. All our boreholes are locked on GIS and their water is analyzed for potable consumption. Boreholes which don't comply with Fenner 241 were signposted and those ones are not fit for consumption. But the challenges that we have to maybe if I can say a few things on that one, that the problem that you're experiencing with signing all these boreholes which are not complying, which are not fit for drinking, the people, they steal all our samples to do various activities. But we are working with that one with the councillors which are on those areas. All potable water within the city, which is includes urban and rural, is from the existing water wells, which Mr. Postman mentioned earlier on, and are regulated to all our consumers. In areas where regulation is still required or under construction, potable water is provided by water tanks through to Georgia Tank. Monthly report to DWARF. The city of Mhlathu is participating in the EQWMS initiative of DWARF, which is a very good exercise. In this regard, a comprehensive reply was recently provided to the Office of the Minister of the Affairs, Attention Anisha A, the postman, which will explain to that one later on. And a resampling of non-compliance results at an annexure being as well. We will explain on that one. Finances on water quality issues. on bulk and bulk water and sewage treatment monitored for the current year. These are the figures we have. We've got about 11.7 million. And on next year, we've got another 11.7 and up to year 2010 and 2011. And we've got money as well for construction fees, which is 480, and which has been outsourced as well. On Water Service Authority, the budget we have on this current year, which is 2007-2008, is 5.1 million, and next year is 8.7 million. Water quality skills. The function of bulk water supply and effluent treatment is outsourced to experience and specialized WSP, who is accredited with ISO 9000 and ISO 14001, which at the moment they are busy with their accreditation for ISO 18001. The operation is furthermore monitored by external professional service provider to ensure compliance. The validity of quality tests is ensured by extensive involvement of an external laboratory. There is a little doubt that structures and systems being implemented by the city to ensure a safe and a secure water supply can serve as a benchmark for many municipalities around the country. One thing which we will be implementing in the coming year, which is 2008, as of July this year, we will have a live monitoring system which will base our water works with everything that is happening to our water works. Thank you, Ngiyabonga.
Thank you, Sabelo. Madam Chair, thank you. I might carry on with the annexures, and that is really the question of the non-conformance of certain samples. As you know, this EWPMS system was established, a joint venture between various bodies, INISA, of which I'm also a member, it's a tool now to track water quality. The city of Umsatusi is participating in WQMS initiative quite well by submitting water quality information on a monthly basis. The water quality information associated with the WQMS system is limited to a few parameters, and the intention is to provide for an overview. Although the WQMS system focuses on 4 quality parameters, it should be noted that the city of Umsatusi is monitoring 50 parameters on a frequency that varies from 2 hours to daily, weekly, fortnightly, monthly, quarterly, and annually. The quantum of samples or tests performed by the city of Umsatusi per month on average is as follows: samples test 13,100, samples tested with backdrop quality, the treatment plant, and consumer points. I think please note that we try and measure the furthest away consumer point as well to make sure that we provide water of adequate quality, 1,340 per month. Then, if you look at the drinking water overview, contains quality for the city of Umsatusi for the period 1st of May 2007 to 1st of May 2008, as reflected on the WQMS system. For the purpose of this report, salient features of the WQMS report are highlighted for ease of reference. There you can see the compliance. You can see the South African total at the top, and then the KwaZulu-Natal totals. I think what is important to note here that you see that your E. coli samples and your fecal coli samples on average for South Africa, KwaZulu, there is considerable. Our view is the same sample should be, same test should be done on both samples. You will see in the city of Umsatusi, our samples are just about equal. And then you can see the failures there that we will explain later. That is just coming from the same system, indicating the various parameters. Noteworthy is the fact that the sample count for the city of Umsatusi represents 30% of the total sample count of the province, KZN, where the city's population only represents 3% of the total population of the province, as per table above. The provincial compliance on fecal coliforms could not be described as representative. Samples by the city of Umsatusi are furthermore almost 3 times more than the minimum guidelines. So, as I explained previously, it's very important to us that we sample at the point of consumption. No use to sample the water works and you pump water into a contaminated distribution system and reservoirs with open ventilators and doors where you get bats and birds and people swimming in it and so forth. Sirius Flatusi is also compared with the rest of South Africa in this aspect. This is also, I think, really appropriate considering that Flatusi samples represent 8% of the South African samples, where it only represents 0.7% of the population, of a tenfold difference. It is suspected that the provincial and SA figures represent mainly some treatment work analysis and very little supply to rural communities and or distribution networks. The city of Mhlatuzi also received the Drinking Water Quality Monitoring Recognition Award for the most improved municipality on the 21st of August 2007 from the Department of Water Affairs and Forestry in this regard. The table above represents the backdrop quality of water at 46 sampling points for the period of May 2007 to 2008 throughout the water distribution system, including rural areas. These 46 sampling points are monitored on a fortnightly basis, every 2 weeks, which equates to approximately 92 samples per month. An average of one sampling point per month failed to achieve the required backflow standard, most of which relates to the FIFO code reform. So that's only about a 1% failure if you look at those figures. And then, as explained also previously by my colleague, the problem is really with the sampling that is not done adequately. You use dirty containers or dirty taps and things like that, but we'll come to that. As a standard practice, a sampling point is retested when failure occurs in terms of SANS. The WQM system, however, does not facilitate reporting on the findings of the retest, and I think this is where our problem comes in. We will sort this out with Department of Water Affairs to see that we report it properly, because we don't want to hide any samples or failures. Everything must be reported, it must be resampled, it must be done in terms of SANS. This aspect is rather important, considering the sensitivity of samples and probability of contamination during the sampling process. The sampling procedures include sterilizing the sampling point by heat, treatment of the tap, scouring, sterilizing sampling bottles, and and keeping the samples in a cooler. The probability of contamination is therefore significant, especially during the summer days. You're sitting with a very extreme high heat and humidity in that area. A drop of sweat falls into the bottle, it's contaminated. And also our problem, we're currently making use of a accredited laboratory in Durban that is 200 kilometers away. The stuff needs to be transported there, and there are time delays. And therefore, our verdict is really contamination of samples, and we do the retesting, and I'll show you the results later on. So it's very important that your sampling is done adequate, and you will also see in the graphs there was the next one, and there is a dip in December, January, and what I've learned that one of the senior staff members that worked at the works gone up to Mkanyakudi, which is also on your list, to try and assist on their side with water purification as well. He was the guy that normally looked at that, and over the holidays, I think we suspect that is where the problem came in terms of sampling errors. The factor quality of the water treatment and distribution process is predominantly influenced by the turbidity levels of the treated water. And the levels of residual chlorine, very two important parameters in water purification. Both turbidity and the residual chlorine were maintained with the required standard for 100% of the time. You can also look at the graphs below. So in all cases where the samples failed, our turbidity and chlorine concentrations were adequate. So, if you look at the samples, nothing really that you can do in the water works. You cannot put in more chlorine, you cannot make the water cleaner. So the problem really lies with the failure of the sample. Sampling errors mostly contribute to the failures as reflected in the WQMS report. There are, however, cases where backthrow counts is possible at the furthest ends of the distribution system due to the decline in the residual chlorine. Chlorine, of course, decline as you put it in. It works out the same as in your swimming pool. You need to top it up continuously, otherwise it will turn green. This is also the reason why relatively high levels of chlorine doses are applied at the treatment works, and you can also not go too high to ensure that residual chlorine at the furthest consumer. Also refer to the residual chlorine graph that follows later on. Theoretically, the levels of chlorine dose at the treatment works is approximately 3 times more than that is required to effectively eliminate all bacteria. The problem is really we're sitting with network, you know, some of this water had to travel 50 kilometers before it reached the consumer's point. So then you need to keep up your chlorine in that water until such phase that it reaches the consumer. So it's a very fine monitoring regime that we involve. We, in fact, also supply water to the Utunguru district municipality in which we fall. They buy water, a lot of water from us for the Kwambanambi local municipality and the Mtanzini area as well. So, and also because of that, we need to keep a very close watch on the quality of water that we supply because that is also stipulated in our contracts with them. The 12 monthly percentage compliance graph for backthrow quality gives insight of those months that contribute to the municipality not achieving its goal of less than 99% compliance. The following graph depicts these results, and there you can see the December and January time slot that I spoke about. That is the time that also one of our contractors, senior staff members, went up. Our contractors also serving the Mkanyakudi district municipality, and they have really got difficulties with water supply in their area. As seen for the month of December 2007 and January 2008, the percentage compliance was less than 90%, which contributed to the overall percentage for the 12-month period. One plausible explanation is a decline in diligence during the sampling process for those months traditionally associated with the holiday season. Methodologies to improve sampling are receiving continuous attention. This remains important in order to obtain representative samples. And I think Mr. Sierra highlighted that in the challenges that we've got, what we're going to do now is we have sample failures. As soon as we got our own laboratory accredited, failures will be re-examined by that laboratory immediately so we can get a quicker result in turnaround time and not as it's currently being done on a two-weekly basis, because these samples take about 10 days before you have the answers on the sampling on the back of samples. Then, as I said, very important parameter is also disinfection levels, residual chlorine. The graph below represents residual chlorine levels for the set period. The levels at some points are higher due to the fact that chlorine levels decline over time and along the distribution system. The general guideline to maintain a minimum of 0.1 milligram per liter residual chlorine level, unless circumstances dictate, is preferable not to exceed 0.5 milligrams per liter, as indicated in the graph. Above, you can see the green line there. The extended distribution system to rural communities requires higher levels at the treatment works ends. The fact that certain levels are above the 0.5 milligram per liter, as I explained previously. Then, just as important is the stability levels. The graph below reflects the average stabilities as measured at the treatment works for treated water. Provision was made under the new WSB contract to commence on the 1st of July for measurement of stability in the reticulation, as is the case for the backthrow parameters. This is really a very, very important parameter to be measured, and that is why we're going to introduce that now in the reticulation as well. It's only with these nasty things like Giardia and cryptosporidium Pyridium, you can only control that by means of turbidity in the system, and your turbidity must really be below 1.5. Otherwise, those things can manifest in your system, and you've heard about the problems that you've got in the United States with that. So turbidity is one of the crucial
aspects in water quality to be checked and to be checked throughout the whole system. Because at the end of the day, you want to see that the consumer takes the water, but quality water, and with that insurance, you must test there and not only at your works. Levels being maintained by the city of Umhlanga varies between 0.1 and 1 NTU, that is the standard of stress stability, which is acceptable as the SONS 241 class 1 water, and you will also see that we've achieved 100% compliance throughout that period. You can see what we mentioned there, so Kaweni, we're standing at 1, and we feel that we can do better there, and we will certainly give attention to that. We've just added further extension to that works, and we will also ensure that we try and bring that stability down. Right, then we now on Annexure B, that is the resampling of the non-compliances. There generally should be a correlation of free residual chlorine and the number of non-compliance to determine if the results are considered being representative of the actual water quality of the reticulation or a sampling error. In this case, there is no correlation due to the residual chlorine present, which confirms that it is a sampling error. We'll see in the next table. The following table lists for the 12-month period all non-compliance with the free chlorine concentrations also indicated. Of importance, so it's not the free chlorine that is non-compliant, that is a non-compliance result, but we also indicate the free chlorine. Of importance to note is that 2 sample runs are done per month, and not only one is requested. Failures are also resampled at the next sample run, as I explained. You know, by the time you have your results, you already sort of in your next sample run. Then, that is the table of all the non-compliances. You can see that it varies throughout the system. It's not only related to specific areas, and you can see where we take the water samples at certain people's houses, at schools, and so on, etc. And there you can see the free chlorine levels throughout. It's all 100% adequate. And you can see the comment on the resampling, the latest one we have, the results. It failed, but this was resampled. It's still waiting for the results there. All the others resampled, the next sample run and passed. Resampled, the next sample run and passed. Then there was one, I think only one of the spirits we picked up that did not pass the next resample run, but it was resampled again and it passed in the next run. So, as I say, you know, if you do pick that up, your chlorine is adequate in your network. Your stability is adequate, not much that you really can do. You must go back and see that you do proper sampling and you did obtain the correct results. There you can see the resamples were all done in the past. In a couple of cases, they haven't measured the chlorine. I don't know why not, but that sometimes also do happen. The current contract, which expires at the end of June 2008, utilizes an external accredited laboratory in Durban. The logistics involved in this arrangement result in retesting taking too long. The new contract, which commences on the 1st of June 2008, will make use of an accredited laboratory in Richards Bay as well. It's not our own, it is another private laboratory, accredited laboratory, but we're also going to establish our own accredited laboratory, especially to zoom in on the resampling. So, Madam Chair and committee members, basically our view is that our water is 100%. It's a problem in the reporting and the application of those results on the website. We will take that up with Department of Water Affairs and see that that is sorted out so that we don't have this misinformation going around. Thank you very much for the for the opportunity.
Thank you very much, Platuzi. I'm going to open up to the members to engage on the report. I'm sure that at the end of the day, they will be the judge on your final words that you have said. Bombing.
Just thinking, you don't want to work. Chairperson, thank you. Thank you for a good report. I must say, it's very full detailed report. I hope all the others also was so much information. I want to know is this type of information. I mean, you must have a program on your computer or on your system where you just put in all this information, and then by the end of the month you receive a type of a report. Is it maybe available to other municipalities? Because I know I visit a lot of municipalities, and I know there's municipalities. They honestly, then that's why there is problems. That's why you have a 99% of 99.4% of good quality. The reason for that is that you have a good testing system from point A to point Z. And honestly, I Dwarf is here. If we can maybe use this information of this type of information and put it through to other municipalities, I think it will also help us. It's just actually very sorry that you are first, because then if we already have some of the others, then I mean we can start comparing some of these things. The other thing I want to know is what companies or who is the biggest polluters in your area? Is it maybe the mines? Is it who is it? Because who is the biggest polluters? And then the other one was, you said your percentage of debt collected is about 100% or something like that. How the hell you get it right? Because honestly, just 4 or 5 weeks ago,
can you mind your language, honorable member?
Sorry, Chair. But I mean, it's such a surprise. I mean, yeah, we can't believe it, because about 6 weeks ago the water board was here and all of them was complaining. It's the Nigerian president.
Well, it's the Nigerian president that has been saluted.
The water board, all of them was complaining municipalities didn't pay them. And now you come and you said, but at least you have the you are capable to get all your money in every month. Everyone who buy water from you, you get your water. And maybe that you can explain. And Chairperson, lastly, what did you do to make sure that all your pipelines and all those things is in a good condition, because most of the municipalities normally complain, and that's the reason they have water problems, is that some of these pipelines is older than 30 and 50 years. Are you having a plan for the next 10 years or 15 years to make sure that you bring in new pipelines and all those kinds of things? Maybe later on extra, I don't know.
Chair, can I answer? Do you want to take all the questions?
Right. Okay. Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I just want to know the fully fledged laboratory, testing laboratory that you spoke of. You're saying that it is currently awaiting accreditation and staffing. Am I correct? I don't know the area, of course. I'm asking because I don't know the area. If it's in Richards Bay, it will be much closer to you. Does it mean the laboratory, your testing laboratory that you're currently using is about, you said, 200 kilometers away? Now, this new one, once it is accredited and staffed, will it be closer and will it assist you in the process? That's just because I don't know the areas here, so it's not easy just from looking at the presentation of where it will help you. Second question is, you said also, just for interest sake, you said that currently you're not receiving any assistance from DWARF, that it was delegated to somebody in the province. When you said that, I was just wondering whether there are any need for assistance at this point. It doesn't seem like it from your presentation. Is there? Do you think that DWARF can assist with anything? And if so, did you approach them for that kind of assistance? And then, more importantly, Chairperson, the whole question of contaminated boreholes that you signpost and the signpost disappearing and so on. I wondered, Chairperson,
facilities, do you find them often enough to begin to think of doing something about this? For instance, what are your links with the Water Research Council? Well, just recently, last week, they published small-scale purification equipment South African developed. And they're also indicating that once it is installed, it rather doesn't need much maintenance. There doesn't have to be anybody sitting there the entire day. And they indicated the amount of liters per hour that it purifies, and the number of people that a single one can provide clean water to. So, since you have boreholes studying in your area of jurisdiction, if you don't have any links with the Water Research Council, don't you think your problem is such that instead of looking in putting in massive purification station in some of the areas, I'm gathering that you're rural, you've got rural, that you maybe look at these South African developed small scale systems. If you maybe just could speak to it. And then I wanted to know that your 1% failure rate, it's still a good report, but the 1%, where does it come from? Does it come from these areas that are served by boreholes? Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Notice the other hand.
Yeah. Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you, the presenters from Satuzi, and with the very good report that they've just given to us. And I just wanted to find out with regard to the logged boreholes. Is it everywhere, or are you also saying that you also recorded all the boreholes in the rural areas? Because in most cases, most of the reports that we are receiving, people are recording the boreholes in townships and even in towns, but they are also neglecting those in the rural areas. I just want to find out, is it all of them? Are you referring to those in towns and those in the rural areas? I just want to find out there. And also with regard to the treatment works, you indicated that there is, you are also doing a lot with regard to that, but there is somewhere where you also found out that you need to put more chlorine. So I just want to find out, putting more chlorine, it doesn't that actually endanger people's life? Because if you put more, it might also harm people. But I just want to find out from your side. And I also want to find out with regard to the fecal substance in your water, because you indicated here that there is somewhere that there is some substance coming from fecal. Is it because of the sewage, that the sewage network that maybe is not working well? How do you treat your sewage plant? Are you maintaining it to the standard where it could at least try to minimize the problem of the fecal contaminating water? And I think, and then also, yeah, you also indicated that you are also providing water where there is reticulation under construction. So are you doing it everywhere, or is it a selective places? Because we understand that people in the rural areas were complaining that actually they are not being serviced with regard to water. And in some instances, we find people sharing water with animals, drinking river waters, stream waters. And I just want to find out, in your area, is that not happening? If it's not happening, then maybe you can elaborate on that one. If it is happening, and you can maybe please expatiate on that one. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Fortunately, I've been in KwaZulu for quite a long time. I know some areas in the rural areas where some of the boreholes had
soil to water. I simply want to know exactly what you did in order to make that water drinkable. Most of the areas are sparsely populated. How do you manage to reach those scattered areas insofar as water distribution is concerned?
Yeah, Comrade Chair, may I also add my quota of compliments to the fine presentation? Comrade Chair, I'd like to have a little clarification on sampling. You refer to sampling errors mostly contribute to failures. Could you just elaborate on that? Then on this awareness campaign, you carry them out during the water week. Now, what form does that campaign take? And don't you think that we should have more frequent campaigns on the question of drinking, risk of drinking contaminated water? Because you also refer to when the councillors have ward meetings. Ward meetings are held once a month or once in 3 months. One does not know frequently. But I think a campaign should be more frequent than at such times. Now, the question of boils is made by two previous honorable members. What I'd like to know is that you say you have put these signposts. Now, if these are removed, then people would use contaminated water. Couldn't we close those boils which have contaminated water? That will save risk and save lives. Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson. Chairperson, I think many people have covered most of the things that one wanted to ask. But on this one of the where they said that the water service officials then inform people on the ward committee, on the ward councillor meetings, I would like to know that do they attend each and every ward councillor meeting, or is it only when there are problems that you have an official attending that meeting? But the other thing is that your report, which I must also add my voice, that is a very good report. That I should think that the first people that you report to is DWARF. And maybe if DWARF is here, one would want to know that why was it never mentioned that we have a municipality that is 100%, you know, doing so well that others could have been referred to it or most of the time? And the Honorable Mr. Combrick said that you should maybe give us information where you, how do you, or is it just this nice, beautiful report because of this public hearings, or do you really have it stored somewhere where you get information from, which then can really be used to other municipalities? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just a couple of questions. The report that was presented to us was very good. I must also compliment on that. But what came out very clear from the report and the graphs that was shown to us here is it still in the traditional white areas like Mere and Sea and the others, the quality of the water, it seems to me, was always on a very good level. But as soon as you go into the traditional black areas like Esikaweni, and these places, there seem to be disparities. And one gets the feeling that we are still dealing with the pre-94 issues here. My question is then, are they busy correcting these things, or what is the municipality doing about it? Because it's quite clear from the report that there is a difference in the quality on the various levels that was given. Then my second question, in the DORA, the Division of Revenue Act, certain amounts are made available for specific allocation to municipalities. Now, under that, there is three allocations by Treasury. And I just want to find out, is this municipality also taking part in it? The first one is on water service operating subsidy grant. Is the municipality participating in that? Then the there's also the regional bulk infrastructure. Are they also there? And then the backlog in water and sanitation at clinics and schools grant. Is this municipality participating in those three allocations made by DORA? Chairperson, and just a last question is to do with the concept of development. Developmental local government. As we know, this is a new notion. But what I want to know is, water service. As we know, water service has now been devolved. But how effective have your studies linked water service quality to attaining a developmental local government, and how ready are you for fiscal and service decentralization? Thank you, Jim.
Just two things, because I must understand how it works. The figure is very good. The figure it looks good. But how true is it? Now, the reason I ask that is, did someone from DWAF verify this thing somewhere during the month? I just must understand. You said you give a monthly report to DWAF. So does it mean that DWAF do a monthly audit on your results you're giving to DWAF? I just want to understand how it works. Because, and then lastly, what is the municipality doing to make sure that there's enough food security in the country when it comes to agriculture, to make sure there's enough water in the area, what help you, the dams, the dwarf maybe to build dams and those kinds of things, to make sure there's enough food. Thank you, Chair.
May I particularly on the last question, if you do not have sufficient information about that year, you're always welcome to send it to the committee, but if you're ready to answer it, it is quite fine. Let me ask the last question, and that is, can you clarify who are you referring to all the time when you spoke about outsourcing and they and somebody else is doing? Can you just elaborate a little bit more for us on that? How are you going to solve the reporting that you have mentioned? You've mentioned more than once the water quality management system does not allow. What suggestions are you making to improve that situation? So, it's over to yourself to answer.
Chair, honourable member, thank you. I'll try to do my best with all the questions. The first speaker. The question of the availability of information, all our testing information is available on computer, all these parameters that we test, the 2 hour, whatever, is all available and must all be stored. And we really welcome to assist any municipality with that. And it's all available to DWARF. As I stated, we don't hide anything, everything. That's up to the last question. WAF can come and check all our figures. It's all available. We don't hide anything. Water is a serious issue. It's a food that you take in fact every day, and we must make sure that it's 100% correct. Right, polluters in the area, we're very fortunate. If you look at the lay of the land, that we're sitting with freshwater lakes, coastal lakes, which is currently relative clean, is not polluted. Some of them still still in a very pristine environment, and there's no sewage effluent going into that except now maybe seepage from rural communities and so on. But we check that also very thoroughly, very regularly to see whether we do get any pollution, especially in the light of E. coli and so on. And up to now, I must say, you know, if we find some of those instances, it's around about 10 or 100, you know, and I think the limit that we have allowed in the rivers is something like 1,000, if I'm not mistaken. So we fall well in with those parameters. The sewage in Richard Bay is going, in the Richard Bay area is going out to sea. It's not pipelines, and it's also not pipelines that's going into the beach area. It's going 5 kilometers into sea. It's tested by CSIR on a regular basis, and every time there was a good passing report. So, and then we have also conventional sewage works for the other areas where the compliance must be, of course, the general standard as prescribed by WAF. The question on debt collection, well, one thing is that we also sell electricity. And if somebody is in arrears with his other services like water, sanitation, rates, and so on, we squeeze a little bit on the selling of electricity until they've topped up the outstanding account, and that has resulted in a very good debt collection. Then ensure that pipelines in a good condition. Yeah, we're currently busy with the replacement program. Unfortunately, you know, the basis of main pipelines was the pipe of the 70s, 80s. Every town in South Africa and the world got IC pipes. They are coming to the end of their lifespan now, and they must be, of course, be replaced. So we're busy with the extensive pipe replacement program. The second speaker, the question of the laboratory that I referred to. Yeah, currently we're making use of a laboratory in Durban, Brian Kirk and Associates, a accredited laboratory. The one that we refer to is for our water services provider, an in-house laboratory, but not a sizable laboratory. It's more a controlling laboratory to control testing of, obviously, potable water, but also of effluents entering into the sewer system, stormwater system. We're monitoring the coastal waters for swimming purposes on the beach, etc., and we monitor all the lakes, you know, for any pollutants that might come into that. So that is really Mr. Sarah's branch. We've just completed a new building with all the new fancy equipment, and we're now just providing staff and accreditation, and then we will be able to exercise that control more, also more strictly in the area. But currently samples are done. We're currently making use of the Mhlatuzi Water Laboratory. They're assisting us a lot also with sampling, but they've also picked up problems with their laboratory in terms of staff and so forth. So the question of whether we need assistance from that, certainly we will knock on glass door. If we need assistance, they come and visit us regularly. I must say we get very good assistance with them. We're working with the Durban office, of course, and that is why we don't really work with the main office, but it's decentralized, and they're most welcome to inspect us any day, inspect our samples and our methods of operation. The question of contaminated boreholes and small purification of borehole water. We have planned an extensive reticulation pipe system in our area. So we really want to do away with the borehole. So currently, in fact, we've banned the utilization of boreholes. They all lock, you know, there's a coordinate for each one on our GIS system. We've got the digital photograph background. You can go and physically see there's borehole number 1, 2, 3. All the stuff that we get from the Department of Water Affairs. We try to signpost, we try to educate. One thing that we'd like to do, and there's also a further question, is this question of water for agricultural purposes. It's really a dire need for that in our area. Now, unfortunately, potable water is just too expensive, and also the chlorine in the potable water is not good for your plants. You know, it's not good to irrigate with chlorinated water. So I've asked Mr. Sellers, currently looking at that, to see what we can do to provide agricultural water, maybe put pumps on boreholes that got a good yield and things like that, so that we can also assist especially the rural communities, with that. Some of them are really dependent on their livelihood, depends on water for irrigation. If they don't have that, they really have big problems. And it's also more the economy of scale. You know, you'll see that we have about four major waterworks. In fact, we've already closed two smaller ones, which is not economically to run. We rather put in large the bigger one to get economy of scale. You know, it costs you the same, really, in terms of staff to operate the work that provides 10 megaliters a day than versus the work that might provide 100 megaliters a day, because you must have a 24-hour shift, a buddy system, and all that, and that will chew up cost. So that is very important. So it's really a question of economy and security and control of those installations. We've inherited a lot of small waterwork installations, but we rather prefer to close them down and pipe water to that of which we've got ultimate adequate control, you know, than to leave it out there and you cannot exercise your control. The failure, what we refer to now, we haven't tested borehole water. This is not part of our sampling because all our water is provided from water purification works and pipes. So we don't test borehole water, as a matter of fact, because we don't consider that as water that is fit for consumption. Maybe it's a bit of a
especially with boreholes, the reason that made us to go and test all the boreholes was we wanted to see which boreholes are contaminated. With which those ones which were contaminated, some of them were sealed off. And some of them which were suitable for washing, maybe for washing cars, drinking for irrigation, those ones, they are using them. But they've been advised by the means of their councillors and us as officials that they mustn't drink that water from boreholes. Rather, if there is no water in the area, for example, if there's a burst pipe, they must give us a call, then we'll supply water with our tankers.
Right, thank you. Then, the fourth speaker, the question of salty water in the boreholes. Now, that is more related close to the coast, like at closer down to Durban area, you find that. In our area, I don't think salty water is a problem, but you get other substances that is growing in the boreholes, like a sort of a brownish yellow type of fungi thing that sometimes block the boreholes. The question of scattered areas, I think I've addressed that. I said we're going to pipe water to everybody, and that they do not we don't foresee that's a problem. Sampling errors contribute to failure. That was the first speaker. Yeah, what I'd like to say is, our opinion is, although the tests indicate failures, we have the opinion that the bottle was dirty, which is the sample. So the sample was, in fact, contaminated, you know, and it's not the water in our distribution system that is contaminated, because if you look at the chlorine, the residual chlorine, and if you look at the turbidity figures, we cannot really improve on those figures, and that is also two very important parameters. That is why I said that, well, that's why we do the resampling, and that's why I've indicated in the Annex B, the resampling test of all parts. There was one out of all of these tests that did not pass the resampling test, and when we test it again, then it passed. So surely if we pick up something like that, then it's related to the reticulation system. And things can go wrong. You know, you get a broken pipe, the people repair it, the procedure is you must scour the pipelines, make sure it's clean. But sometimes you get water trapped somewhere, and that might be the reason. So we definitely analyze any problem to make sure that it's not contaminated water, and whether we're pretty sure it's a sampling failure, then we are more happy. Then, Bello, I think on the water campaigns, there were some questions about that, if you want to.
The question with regard to water officials when they are attending their ward meeting, what we normally do, when there is a failure in the area, we normally send our guys to go and address the issue, for sometimes myself and other guys as well, so that people will know that there is a problem in the water. But our laboratory, our internal laboratory, they go, they do their random testing. If it passes, it passes. But as I said earlier on, that the problem with our WQMS, which DWARF is using, doesn't allow for resampling to be logged in on that one. So what happens is that when they go out to take some samples and they pass, then we're okay with this one. We don't address to the communities that we had a failure or that the water is contaminated. With regard to the program of our campaign, on this coming year, 2008, we managed to find some funding from DWARF as well, from about 140,000 with all our campaigns. We'll use them more effectively to all areas that we've got, so that we can highlight the problem areas. For example, as Freeport has said earlier on, that the problem will find that the guy will have in his house a leak pipe, and we won't know, because the reason being our area is quite sandy, and water will just go down. And whatever happening, the dogs, they poo everywhere around the house, and there's contamination. When guys come to do their testing, and that water is contaminated. With which we need to come back to the issue that the owner of the house will have to notify if he has a leak in his house. Then we advise him, this is how you should clean up your pipe. Just flush it after you fix it, so that there will be no contaminated water. But that lies on an individual or to the owner of the house.
Okay, thank you. If I may continue, I think we addressed the question of signposting of boreholes and the question of some of them to be closed. I think Mr. Sledder, I've indicated that we've closed some of the boreholes where it's really a problem. But as I say, we still like to retain those boreholes for agricultural purposes. Information at Ward Council meetings available.
I've that
now already. Thank you. There's a question from the DWARF that I presume DWARF will answer. Every information that we have available, as I said previously, we do have all our sampling tests all available on computerized. Everybody to see, anybody is welcome to
outsourcing.
Come to us and see how it works.
The question of outsourcing?
The question of outsourcing, let me just come to that one. I've still got some other questions here. The question of outsourcing, the companies that we're currently using is WSSA, Water and Sanitation Services South Africa. It's one of the big companies in the country that is, in fact, operation and maintenance of water and sewage purification works. And they were a successful tender for the last 5 years. We started with that. In fact, we inherited that company from the old KwaZulu days when we amalgamated. And they were, at that stage, they were involved in the operation of the water sewage works in the KwaZulu government area. It's all integrated with us now. We took over that tender, and in 2003, when we became a water services authority in July 2003, we've done the tendering beforehand. On the 1st of July 2003, we've put the new contract in place, and Water and Sanitation Services was a successful contractor. Mm-hmm. The consultant that we're using is Biggin Africa, also one of the big consulting engineers firms in the country, civil engineering, also very strong in water supply and water purification. And to assist them is Werner Zybrands and Associates. He's now retired, but he's assisted on the legal parameters and requirements, because it's very important if you outsource such a function, you know, and you come to the end of your contract, you cannot wish away the staff, say, contractor, thank you very much, take your staff and go, I'm going for tenders for a new contract. You might not do that in terms of labor law. You must look at the people that is currently employed by that contractor, and if you're going to appoint that contractor is not going to be the successful one, you will have to go through the whole process. That staff must be transferred to the new contractor and so on. And that is why we've got legal people advising us on that matter, because it's a very sensitive issue that you cannot overlook. So that is one thing to keep in mind. You know, if we outsource maintenance operation tender, it's not like a guy that builds you a pipeline from point A to B, saying thank you very much, take your people and go. It is the employer's responsibility to look after that staff. So that is that issue. The variance of quality of water, one of the members has sort of picked it up and said he expect the variance there. Okay, it might be so, but there were definitely failures in some of the build-up areas as well. When we introduced this system, I said I want a 100% system for every area. For the rural area will be tested exactly the same as the urban area. There's absolutely no difference whatsoever. Rural areas, the networks there are a bit more complicated than in the urban areas because it's far lying, so your pipe lengths are much longer in your rural areas, and of course your retention of water in your pipes now is longer, so you must be very careful with your chlorine dosing, trying to ensure that you keep the residual chlorine going throughout the system, and that, as I say, that is still one of the challenges. We're working on that, we're achieving that, the results indicate that we do achieve that. Right, then the question of DORA, equitable share. We received our equitable share for the operation and maintenance of the water and sewage infrastructure, but the question of backlogs for clinics and bulk infrastructure for backlogs of clinics and hospitals and so on, I think that has been done by our district municipality. We don't receive that. That was done by Utunguru district municipality in our area. The question of developmental local government ready for fiscal and services decentralization, we feel that we're working towards that. We feel that we are really independent and we can look after ourselves. We know how to look after ourselves from both sides, as I said, with the income and the procuring of services. We make sure that we have the right people on board, especially the ISO accreditation. You know, in the Richard Bay area, you have a lot of macro industries, and that people is very sensitive towards their water supply and effluent disposal. So, if you can say that the ISO accredited contractor is handling that, you know, that is very important to them. I mean, I had a phone call from Coca-Cola. They had a bottling plant and Richard Bay, and my phone and said they're very concerned. They hear that this wash water is going out to sea, and you know, they want to the assurance that that is done properly in terms of ISO standards, etc., and so forth. So it's very important for our major industries for to whom we do supply a lot of water as well to have this ISO accreditation, but most of all to our consumers producing water for potable consumption. Very important that you have that quality assurance.
Can we conclude?
I conclude on nearly the emergency. Yeah, the truth is the figures, as I said, you're welcome to come and check agricultural water rights covered, and how we'll solve the problem on reporting the EWPMS. Now, we will discuss that with Water Affairs and make sure that we find a way to report these results correctly, and so that we don't have a problem. Thank you.
Thank you very much to Mr. Tuzi. Thank you also for answering all those questions. Reyes Dwarf, you can start negotiating now already on that deficiency. Can I? I think they probably brought some refreshments. Can we just maybe just for 5 or 10 minutes? Quickly grab something and then we'll ask. They can set up so long and then we'll take the next municipality, which will be. Careful, Rashid. You can see that. The lady is really lightening up our meeting today. I must warn all of you, it's very contagious. Ask me. Can you introduce your delegation and then give us your presentation? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. We appreciate the opportunity to come and make our presentation. We are from Komazi Local Municipality. I am MJ Johan Mavuso, the Executive Mayor of the municipality. With me, I've got my officials, the Municipal Manager, Mr. Shabang, on the left, on my left hand side. and the manager, Section 57 manager, is Mr. T.P. Sboza, who's on my right. So they will be making the presentation, honorable members. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. I would also want to highlight that in Komazi municipality is one of the among the smallest municipalities in Mpumalanga. With the advantage of finding ourselves in a triangle, we are next to both Mozambique and Swaziland. We have got plus minus 52 traditional villages, only four small urban settlements. We find ourselves in a community of seven traditional leaders with the biggest population in the area. So the economic strength is only of the relying on Malelane, Malot Park, Komatipoort, and Hetospite. Then our presentation will try to reflect everything in as far as water is concerned in the whole of Komazi Municipality, and the Director of Municipal Works will lead us in the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Chokozani. As I've been introduced, Technical Manager from Komazi Municipality. Therefore, we have got two presentations here. Number one is specifically looking at the water quality itself. And number two is specifically looking at the institutional development in terms of water services. So, but then what we have resolved is that we start with the institutional development in terms of water services. Therefore, after that, we'll go directly to the water quality program to reflect some of the challenges and also outcomes. Thank you. As we have seen, I mean, in the video, for the video mission, the municipality of FN that empowers the community to prosper through service delivery. And of course, our mission to enhance the quality of life of all people in the Komazi local society through sustainable development system of local government and rendering of efficient, effective, and affordable services. And as we see here, we're specifically looking at the water service development, as I've highlighted earlier on. Where there is yellow marking, that is where most of the rural areas are scattered. And therefore, we've got water services goals, whereby the Komazi Municipality is committed to eradicate the water backlogs and sanitation and the progressive improvement of water level of services. And then we've got our sub goals here. A provision of water services to provide all households with access to at least a minimum safe water services by 2010. All indigent households will receive the first 6 liters per month of water free of any charge. Then for the provision of basic sanitation services and to provide all households with a basic VIP sanitation for water or waterborne sanitation by 2015. Then we are coming to the high level of services now for water, to provide all households with at least a yard tap by 2010, and then high level of services, of sanitation services, a full water borne sewage to all residents by 2030, at least 50% of that. And then maintaining current levels of services in development areas, which means to provide and maintain reliability of supply in all established areas. Then this is an integrated water resource management sub-goals to promote integrated catchment planning and management, to develop an approach to the management of stormwater runoff, which integrates environmental and engineering considerations, including adequate provision of on-site attenuation and open space drainage areas, and action plans for the restoration of natural stormwater systems. I will not go into details of all the sub-goals, but I will just highlight key areas. And then for the water conservation and water demand management, manage all water supply system effectively. In fact, as we said, 90% of mainline water beds to be restored within 48 hours. And also promote affordable tariffs while reflecting the social and economic value of water. And then for the water demand management is to ensure the long-term sustainability of the water resources and the efficient utilization of existing and future water supply infrastructure. And then to reduce also uncounted water to 20% by 2011. And therefore, the third one is the Water Service Authority overall capacity and institutional arrangement. Sub-goals ensure effective, efficient, affordable, economical, and sustainable access to water services that promotes sustainable livelihoods and economic development, and effectively regulate water services provision, and ensure that water services are provided in an effective, efficient manner, striving to meet and exceed recognized best practice benchmarks, and ensure that water services are provided in a customer-oriented approach that meets the needs of the customer. Then this is the physical economic profile. To the main key important issue here is that the Commission is trying to proclaim as an authority with effect from the 1st of July 2003, and then as the Mr. Mendes highlighted that we are being cornered by Mozambique and Swaziland, and also MGND. Therefore, next slide, the regional setting whereby we're trying to say in the urban areas, what do we have, and then in the rural villages, and then farmland, this is what we have. And then our physical profile is that the Nkomazi municipality, as an authority, it comprises an area of 3,219 kilometers square, and then of course 60 residential settlements. Urban areas are concentrated around the southern sector of the region and on the northern side of the Maputo corridor. Agriculture is the predominant economic activity. Then we have got the social economic profile, whereby we're saying only 30% is formally employed, more than 70% of the households in this area earn less than $800 per month, only 7% earn more than $3,200 per month. Therefore, we have got the information which is highlighted here, the employment profile, and also the labor force profile. Then the, also continuing, the issue of the money, highlighted that the average monthly family income, and average monthly income with the two graphs. And then for the service level profile now, and we're coming into detail. The plan is that the impact of the different levels of services on the water services profile of the Nkomazi municipality, considering that the preferred option should be to provide air connections to all customers and increase sanitation services where appropriate. The provision of an increased level of service is motivated, as follows. Suppose the Nkomazi municipality integrated development visions and goals for a higher level of services to promote the development of the local community, to ensure that the service is equitable and accessible, to promote long-term financial sustainability, to promote economic development by creating opportunities to those communities which are marginalized, to promote economic development through job creation, and to promote cost recovery, minor impact on resource utilization, the additional water required to be obtained from water loss savings. Then this is the information that says water service option where they have got a none or inadequate, they've got basic water services, low pressure connection, full pressure connection, as highlighted, and also the sanitation here. And then this is the customer service whereby the yellow line is there's no basic water supply, where there's a yellow, and then the red, the basic water supply, and then the other graph is low pressure, which is highlighting that so much percentage is low pressure. And full pressure is the blue one, on the water, and also the same applies to the sanitation, water services, and also include the sanitation in the second car. And therefore, the customer says so far they're delivering of water now. We're coming to the issue of, you see, the, I mean, there's legend here. Then the red one is indicating the inadequate, which means it's, insufficient. And then we've got the yellow one, which is a basic standpipe within 200 meters. And therefore, the blue one is a full service pressure connection at the stand. Therefore, we have, seen that, column number two, with classified, these villages into schemes. So, as I've highlighted that, we have got 60 villages. So, the 60 villages are incorporated within these water schemes in column two. Therefore, you can see this from 2005, what has happened up until now. Therefore, delivering of sanitation services, the same applies to sanitation. You can see that in 2005 and in 2006, up until now, there's a partially service. Like, for instance, example number one, a Trikopis partially service up until 2008. Then, here for the blue one, is most of these areas where it's blue, they are fully serviced. The yellow one, they've got septic system. And also, the red one is insufficient sanitation facilities. Therefore, we're coming directly to the water resource profile. We've got the, several sources that include the Crocodile River, which can be supplied to Mayelani, Plekikop, Hector Strait, Marot Park, and Komati Port water schemes. And number two, we've got the Trikopis water schemes, primarily supplying to Trikopis water scheme areas. There's a lot of areas which are benefiting from this water scheme. We've got the Mlumati River, primarily supplying to Langelwop and the Nyathi water scheme as a sub water scheme. Then we've got the Nkomati River, primarily supplying to Tonga, Matadeni, Sibange, Magutu, and Masvegela water scheme. We've got the Mbuzini Dam. This is primarily looking for the whole of Mbuzini, including Kambukulu. Then we've got boreholes here. Which is, we have got Louisville, Cap Maiden, Mkwarukwaru, and second that apply to certain towns in Trikopis, Langelop, Donga, Makokeni, Big Tree, water schemes. Therefore, sometimes we normally, if there's crisis, we use water tankers to these areas where there is boreholes. So you can see that the areas of which are highlighted here. But then we are looking for to get out of the boreholes, of the water tankers, to look at an interim solution for a boreholes. Then the future water sources now. We conclude by saying that it is admitted that the total present volume of water loss due to leakages, illegal water connections, etc., is unacceptable high. By reducing water losses, the future water demand on the existing surface water resources can be greatly reduced. It is proposed that a comprehensive water loss management strategy be launched. Sufficient water is available from the respective resources to address the future municipal requirements. It is proposed that the comprehensive water resource study be launched to confirm the longer-term adequacy for the main water sources, including considering of the agricultural requirements. Then the reliance on boreholes as a primary water source should be minimized wherever possible by the provision of formal surface water infrastructure. And formal water sources will have to be investigated and established for a standard community cannot be served from the main municipal infrastructure. A long-term surface water surface for the Cap Maiden community from Crocodile River will have to be investigated and established. Then these are the resource profile. We've got the Mbuzini Dam there, Crocodile River, Mlumati with the capacity, yeah, and the Nkomati River. And then this one I will deal with, in the next presentation, the water quality and pollution. You can jump this slide. And then for water conservation and demand management, as I've explained it in the textual information,
this is now, I mean, the figures that we, I mean, we have in currently. Therefore, in the next slide, we have got the water service infrastructure profile. Therefore, we have got the main concern with the existing infrastructure profile are the average age of some individual infrastructure components exceed the typical design life of 30 years. Insufficient provisions made at a municipal level to replace or refurbish the existing infrastructure. Limited resources are allocated to maintaining the assets. The total maintenance budget is less than 1% of the replacement value of assets. No capacity to perform preventive maintenance on the assets. Then we've got limited availability of process diagrams and manuals required to operate efficiently. Therefore, this is the infrastructure which has been invested, and therefore, which with the replacement cost, the whole, I mean, total amount of this one is 699, 350. As we've seen, I mean the figure. Therefore, the ownership, we have got some land of which the, I mean, the ownership of that we must take responsibility. Like for instance, we've got, I mean, Capmedian, which is currently owned by the SquareNet. We've got Stand, which is owned by the Capmedian Citrus Community, of which must take responsibility as a municipality, and also Mkwarukwara, and so forth. That is what I'm saying. And therefore, for the water balance, this one it excludes the agricultural sector. Therefore, the water institutional profile indicates the institutional concerns that the business is not completely ring-fenced. Absence of the government, as I've highlighted, Mkwarukwara, to comply with the recession. Then the Komazi, indirect cost of at least 45% of the total operating expense does not make sufficient provision for these areas where are presently served by others. Komazi will have to obtain additional funding of 634 million over the next 5 years in order to deal with the water services challenges. Komazi will have to establish additional institutional capacity to reform the water service authority, hangships and responsibilities, as exploring additional land, I mean additional and or external mechanisms. Here we're trying to say that since Komazi municipality is doing the operation and maintenance itself, we do not have any municipal entity. We are doing it, I mean it ourselves. So then we are saying we must also, I mean, explore and do this external mechanism. Therefore, for the high water losses and unaccounted water, it's due to internal connections and system failures. Strategies are now in place, such as water services bylaws, which are currently dealt with in the form of workshops and consultation. Therefore, we're coming to the financial profile, capital investment on water. Currently, as if you can see on the capital, investments, there is some plans of which most of them has been approved by DWARF and also the Department of Social Government and Housing, the MIG. So most of this capital investment has been approved and they are under implementation. And therefore, for the operating budget on water, we're saying here the operating budget for the water services will not be sustainable without the provision of external operational maintenance subsidy funding in addition to the equitable share allocation towards the water services. Therefore, for the operating budget on sanitation, you're saying here the budget for sanitation services will not be sustainable in the short term and will need to be cross-subsidized by other retail services. The analysis indicates that the service will probably only be sustainable from year 5, which means from 2013 to 2014, from that financial year. Then this is the financial profile for the operating cost. For the production cost, where it is red, then the green one is other sources, and finance charges is the yellow one, and then the purple one is the purchase of bulk water, and so forth. Therefore, in our summary here, the majority of customers within the authority area, 70% are classified as indigent, and therefore not able to pay for water and sanitation services. Intercommunal grant subsidies
will be required to support the water business. There are 86,000 customers, which means the households, and we've got 495,000 people, which means the population that commands the area, of which 26% do not have the access to basic water supply infrastructure, and 57% do not have the access to basic sanitation. Therefore, you're saying the WSA, that's the appropriate level of institutional and administrative systems, processes, resource management, customer care, operation and maintenance capacity, and adequate resources to provide the required water services to its customers. Sufficient water resources is available to accommodate the municipal water demands of the Nkomazi region, the needs of the agricultural sector, and the resulting impact on the water resource must be considered. Existing infrastructure is valued approximately at an 699 billion replacement value. Certain infrastructure components are extremely old, and a comprehensive assessment of the required capital investment is required to replace aging infrastructure. And an insufficient allocation of resources to perform preventive maintenance is also of concern. Therefore, WSDP proposes that a solution of 253 million rand for water infrastructure for the next 5 years should be done, and also 381 for sanitation, so which means the total amount is 634. So that is what we have done so far. We have managed to compile business plans and then submitting them for approval. So we're under most of the programs, the plans, they're under construction. Therefore, we're saying here, insufficient processes, systems, and resources are currently available to ensure an adequate level of customer care. The re-engineering of the customer care function is urgently required, and the assessment is concerned with the regard to the indirect cost and availability capacity to offer water services, to render the water services. It is suggested that the provision of water services through a secondary service provider has been assessed, and reflected that the municipal entity must be created as a water service provider for the Nkomazi municipality. So this is the first presentation that we have highlighted the background in terms of the delivering of the challenges. Therefore, now we're going to the water quality itself as a slide. Mission also applies here. Therefore, what we have done here, we have developed a sort of a questionnaire with the assistance of DWAF to be able to highlight all the challenges and also the strategies that have been taken into consideration. And therefore, here, you have got a situation, assessment, water quality, you're saying resources to provide water quality assessment functions. Therefore, we have outlined that some questionnaire that quality of water taken from the source, quality of water taken from the source in the rural areas, also for the rural and also urban areas. Reporting on quality of water taken from the source, inclusive of urban and rural. We've got the quality of water returned to the resource, urban, and also the same applies to rural. Then the pollution contingency measures. Therefore, what we're saying here. We've got the let's say that resources available to perform the function. Yes, we have got the budget, we've got the bylaws, we've got the infrastructure, we've got the personnel. Then the quality of water from the source, we've got the budget, and we've got the bylaws, we've got the infrastructure and the personnel. Then the reporting, yes, we're doing that one. Quality of water returned to the source. Yes, we agree on that one. Quite often, that tends to the same applies to the rural. Then the pollution measures. We don't have a budget for pollution measures. Then we've got the bylaws, and then we don't have the infrastructure for, let's say, for instance, stormwater runoff in a specific area. So we don't have such infrastructure for that, and we don't have personnel to look on that one also. and then they're kind of taken from the source. Here, we want to clarify, I mean, one thing. At the source, we're saying, I mean, in the river. And at the reservoir, we also inclusive of the water treatment plant and the wastewater treatment plant. So the third, I mean, the third column, in the second column is saying the source is the river or a dam, and the fourth column here is saying reservoir, which means inclusive of the water treatment plant and the wastewater treatment plant. Therefore, if the water height is measured at the source, dwarf is doing this one at the source from the river or the dam. Therefore, at the reservoirs and treatment plants, the municipality is looking at that one in the water quality. Then at the tap, you don't go directly to the tap, but then on the bulk infrastructure itself, we're doing that before distribution. And therefore, the results now, I mean, we don't have a laboratory. Whatever samples are taken, goes to dwarf for assessment. And therefore, they also take that information and put it, in the system as a monthly report. And also, the monitoring, intervals. Yeah, I'll also elaborate. On our behalf, as I appointed a service provider to monitor each and every month for our department. So there is a personnel who's dedicated, on site to look at every, every week, with which there's high areas of, high risk. That, every week, you must do that. But every day we've got plant operators who are doing, the monitoring, of that one. So most reports that are done by dwarf, and then they're putting them, in the system. So whatever action, that we need to take, they also make an instruction. We got a report from them. They're saying, if maybe we have overdose, they will tell you that you must reduce 1, 2, 3, and 4 in some of the water schemes. So we're being monitored closely by dwarf here. And therefore, results are available in the internet format. Yes, are available in the system that is being established by IMESA and by dwarf. And therefore, we don't have information here with this SNAS 2400 per year. We don't have a capacity to, on this one. Dwarf is doing it, on our behalf. And therefore, the reporting on the token from the source on urban and rural areas, if we're trying to token from the source does not comply, urban areas, residents are notified, yes, we notify them through newspapers, counselors, or maybe we put flyers house to house, or make a slot in a radio for the communication. And also, same applies to RULA. Therefore, the pollution contingency measures here. We say several water quality and environmental pollution concerns require added attention, specifically when considering the environmental legislation applicable to water service authorities. That non-compliance with the legislation in terms of water quality monitoring and reporting, specifically for insufficient water quality monitoring in bulk water and reticulation system to ensure an acceptable standard delivered to our customers, specifically in rural towns. The quality of groundwater is monitored to ensure the fitness for human consumption, the adequacy of water quality, monitoring of wastewater effluent for the Malindani stock space, and commercial sewage plant may not be adequate. Insufficient capacity to monitor and manage environmental pollution of concern, specifically when considering pollution of local rivers by runoff from agricultural land, stormwater runoff from urban areas such as Mainane and Komativore. Therefore, the pollution also continues here, where for the resource description, like the rivers, and the list of source pollution here, chemical or biochemical pollutants, then the formal contingency measures, we don't have this one in those sources. Because this one is talking of the sources from like a river and a dam. And therefore, future trends and goals on the water quality. It is not expected that any significant changes in the quality of water extracted or retained will occur. The monitoring of water pollution is of concern and should be addressed to prevent a deterioration of water quality in the future. And then, strategic gap analysis. pollution of water is monitored sufficiently and should address the following: water quality, monitoring in the water supply infrastructure to be improved. Then groundwater quality is monitored. The plan is to erect package plan to treat boreholes and also put small reservoir as a main source of supply. The impact of water, of wastewater pollution on the water quality is monitored and always needs close supervision. Possible pollution due to agricultural activities is not investigated. Possible pollution due to stormwater runoff is not also monitored. Then implementation strategies. We've identified problems and also make some recommendations on the second corner, which is water quality monitoring in the water supply infrastructure to be improved. We're saying here, increase water quality monitoring efforts in reservoirs and recirculation. The reporting of water quality issues are incorporated into existing communication forums. Where these forums do not exist or are inadequate, other reliable forms of reporting should be investigated also. Then groundwater quality is monitored. The current boreholes being used for domestic water supply are monitored on a monthly basis in terms of water levels and quality. The service providers were allocated, but we have insufficient funding, almost, I mean, 4 million on this one. Maybe to, I mean, to also go briefer, is to say that most of the boreholes with, during the transfer, I mean, processes, there were no packaged plans in terms of, like, we're doing those, I mean, let's say for chlorine dosing, I mean, house for if we are pumping this water from a borehole. But there were just boreholes where we just pump water and then, you drink it. But at that time, it was a safe water for drinking purposes. But then during this time, sometimes when we're having a dry season, sometimes we're getting this brackish, material on the ground. So we're having this challenge now. And then the impact of wastewater pollution on the water quality is monitored. Then we're saying here, implement wastewater to return quality monitoring and formally contingency measures be established for the prevention of source pollution. Then for the possible pollution due to agricultural activities not investigated, implement agricultural wastewater return quality monitoring and formal contingency measures be established for the prevention of this source pollution. Then the possible pollution due to stormwater runoff is also monitored. Then we're saying here to implement water return quality monitoring and formal contingency measures be established for the prevention of the source. I thank you.
Thank you very much, honourable members. I'll ask you to, I'll invite you to respond to the report, engage on the report. Honourable Kombank, your mic is on already. You may proceed.
Thank you, Chair.
Just that Aronson looks very upset that he's overtaken him.
Where's the mandate?
Nonsense. Thank you, Colonel Chair. First of all, I just want to make sure, how clean is your water? Is it 90%? I mean, there's a, you have, I mean, you must know at least 20%, 90%, 80%, how clean is your water? Because on all your tablets it says yes, no. So I just want to make sure, how clean is the drinking water, firstly. Secondly, you're testing your water in the in the reservoirs and not at the tap. You said your pipeline is older than 30 years, so it means if you test your water at the reservoir and you pump it for 5 kilometers, and that pipeline of you is damaged, all hockeys and funny things is coming into that pipeline. So the end water is much dirtier than your original water. That's why we find sick people in the municipalities. I didn't say it is so, but it happened in most of the small municipalities. So can you just explain to me why you're not testing at the taps? Thirdly, are you testing for all these little things going into the water, bacteria and all things, or are you just testing is it drinkable or not drinkable? Because sometimes all these funny things is in the water make the people sick, and especially the communities, and especially in your areas, there's a lot of very, very, very poor communities, and the water end up there is sometimes not very drinkable. So if you can just explain this to me, and what are you doing to, because you said your pipelines are very old, what are you doing to make sure that you maybe put in new pipelines? Did you ask extra money from Treasury or from Dwarf or anyone else? Because in a lot of your programs you said not enough funds, you didn't have enough funds, so what are you doing to make sure that we have all these things? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Can before you speak, may I acknowledge the presence of Ukatlamba District Municipality that's arrived, so they will do a presentation after the Water Caucus. Proceed, Honourable Arata.
Chairperson, thank you. I'm partly covered by Mr. Combrink. I just wanted to add to that. Could you maybe explain, you're saying you're monitoring the boreholes, could you maybe speak more about it, tell us how we actually monitor and what you do when borehole water are found to be contaminated?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I've heard, and I was also observant when the report was actually read to us, and I just want to find out, because here it is actually stated that water is not actually monitored from pollution, especially coming from the agricultural side. And I just want to know, why are they not even investigating the activities of agriculture as to whether is it not contaminating that water? And also saying that even the runoff water, they don't even monitor exactly what is happening. And they've also indicated that 84% of their areas being actually occupied by the people in the village. So, and they also indicated that they don't have enough sanitation in those areas. So if they don't monitor all those waters, is it not actually affecting the quality of water with regard to the sewage? Because maybe the people there, that if they don't have sufficient sanitation, or also having waterborne toilets, and that might also affect the quality of water. So I just want to find out, why are they not actually doing that? And another one is that one of a tap, because you indicated that you don't even test water coming from a tap, and also you have indicated that your infrastructure has been there for 6 years, and you need also to replace that, and it was not replaced, but you don't even check the water that is coming out of the tap. And also with regard to the boreholes, I just want to find out as to whether have you registered all the boreholes in your area, so that you could also help to check as to whether the quality of water is of good quality or not. And because you also actually, you are actually, your municipality is a very good example of what we've been also crying about, complaining about, that actually the rural people are not even taken care of in most municipalities, but yours is a very good example, because 84% actually is coming from the rural areas. So I just want to find out exactly how much are you doing with regard to that, to make sure that the quality of life in those areas is being improved. Because we've seen in many municipalities, those people are neglected. Even the report that we receive, only people in townships and people in towns are covered. And it shows that actually the skewed water allocation is not even being improved. And we are so very much concerned, because those people are the people who are suffering most. So we just want to find out, because even in your future plans, you are not actually giving us what you want to do. You're also saying that you think this must be done in this way, but you are not even giving us your plans for future. Thank you very much.
Who is next? Is what are you saying, Honorable Shiva?
I said we come up here.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair. I stand to have a lot of questions because some of them were taken by my colleagues. But since they come from my area, I'm very much concerned taking the considering what happened when we were on oversight, when we had a very, very good presentation in the office. But later on, we discovered that when we went on site, it was a different thing. I know that our place is rural, and I know very well that most of the rural areas don't have water. And there are certain organizations who are actually stating that lack of service delivery in the rural areas is due to lack of skills. You mentioned nothing about skills, and I know that they are actually a lack of service delivery in the rural areas. What do you have in your skills formation to make sure that people do get what they want? It shouldn't be like what we saw in sanitation when we went to Tonga. We got a different thing. It's my area. I'm concerned about it. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to find out when we come to this issue of rural area, how do you help the communities? Maybe if one want to have its own boreholes to be sure that the water is quality, because in some areas we know that the water is salty. Now, how can you help these communities to have their own boreholes with quality water? And then the second one, what long-term solution are you working in on incorporating MIC funds to address water quality? Thank you.
I apologize, it's only the members of parliament that engage on the report, not anyone else. Honorable Maynes, was your hand up? No? Honorable Arnza?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, the actual problem here is that, quite frankly, there doesn't seem to be any system in place to really monitor quality of water. If one looks at what we were going to do here today, is that we were going to have public hearings, discussions on water quality and water challenges. Now, presentations point out a number of challenges that they have. And then it slightly touch on, as Mr. Combrink said, it tells us one area where they monitoring the quality of water. And that's just about it. So, quite frankly, it paints a rather bleak picture in terms of the quality of water in the municipal area, you know, area of jurisdiction. And I think that's the problem here, that there's nothing much to engage on. I mean, one can ask a whole host of questions, but if you look at the presentation just on paper, then it almost tells me that it's not going to help us to ask those questions, because it would appear as if for none of the questions that we have in relation to water quality, concerns that we have with water quality nationally, countrywide, isn't being taken care of in this municipality. Quite frankly, it would appear as the water could quite simply be unsafe to drink in this municipality. So, Chairperson, I only asked a couple of questions. Because if I really, I didn't want to come across very negative. But it's quite a negative report, actually, in terms of water quality. So I just thought that, look, maybe it's best if I just speak my mind on what I'm seeing in front of me and what I've heard. of court as far as Dwarf's sports concerns when it comes to checking water quality and so on. So there's nothing much as far as water, I'm sorry to say, but nothing much that the municipality gives us that's being done and plans that they have to enhance the whole process of ascertaining that the end user receives the proper quality water. So but that's the problem that I'm sitting with this question.
Thank you, Honorable
Aaron.
But you see, we have to find solutions, though. And they will have to answer, you see, on the questions that were put to them. But let me give Honorable Maine an opportunity.
Thanks, Jefferson. I just want to, when one's listening to both municipalities, one wants to know whether from Dwarf, if the website reflected incorrect figures with regard to water quality, why does Dwarf not pick up this anomalies and refer back to municipalities? It's not coming out clear. Anomalies.
Well, Dwarf is not going to answer now. Dwarf is going to speak tomorrow. And then I'm sure that we can hold that question for them tomorrow. But I thought that one of the reasons why all of them are here is because of them being informed that they are not complying. And in particular, through whatever monitoring system that Dwarf has. But if they want to also answer that one, they're also free to answer your question. Let me see if there are any other hands. If there are not, if you could answer all the questions that the members have put. But in addition to that, the part that I don't hear, you say that when there are problems, you tell the community via the newspaper and councillors and so on, so the radio. The part that I don't understand is all of us are supposed to have community development workers. To what extent are you using that vehicle of government that immediately needs to do a range of very many different things? And why do we resort to, you know, only newspapers and stuff like that? In particular in rural areas, I mean, which newspapers are there? The Sword and the Voice is probably not there. But if you could speak to that part also, and then I think at the same time, because I think we must thank you for your honesty in this report. And I don't necessarily see it as negative. I think it's an honest account that you are giving. And we need to rise to the challenge of the honest account that you are giving in stating in this area what the water situation is, as well as the management issue is, as well as the quality situation is. And of course, I think the committee will have to respond to how do we take this matter forward from here. But if you can answer those questions, thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think I will be able to handle some of the questions. Then maybe I'll start with the last one in terms of the sending information or message to the community. We do have community development workers who are working with ward councillors and PR councillors. We are also having a very good relationship with the traditional leadership. So we do have a very structured way of sending a message. However, Chair, I need to indicate that maybe there is a weakness in the report that we could not go into details. However, there are very key issues or actions that were taken dealing with the matter. For example, the first question on how clean is our water. It varies with the situation depending on the outcome of the report after Dwarf gave us the feedback, and therefore to say what actions to take. Most of the managers there are more than a year old, because most of the administration is only one Section 57 who came from the previous administration. After the
bus. Then after getting the report, we then continue with the work we're supposed to do. We have also, Chair, contracted 5 service providers in the municipality who are treating the water with chemicals, and we have contracted them for 2 years, who are assisting us. They look at the report, discuss with us, they go down and implement with them by trying to assist the community. And the issue of the testing of the water from the tank should be understood within this context. We are taking over some of the water systems that are coming from the old Galwan, where there were no in-house connections. The community members, they go to a reservoir, then they get water there. The treatment is done in the reservoir. It's only now that because of the assistance we're getting from the DPLG, we have started now with this in-house connection. But then the challenge is saying, in order to make sure that we deliver as expected, we have to continuously also attend to the tests that we are putting. However, at the moment, we have installed plus minus 600 meters or to the high consumer clients, which we have done together with us. I hope we will not have a problem to start testing both at the reservoir and going to to each and every step. Last week we had a visit with us, looking at how the municipality installed those meters. So we will not have a problem to start checking with the test. But then with the reservoir, the context was on the basis of the fact that we have not done much on the in-house connection of the water system. We have also, in trying to deal with the water, appointed PD Light, a service provider, known by the name PD Light, who are experts. They have compiled a report of all the water schemes of Kumasi together with Vision Africa. Those reports were tabled to the provincial leadership, the cabinet of Mpumalanga, which the Premier and all the MSPs were happy about. It also reflects on what budget is envisaged to deal with those problems. There are processes that are there to deal with the challenges. Those challenges are coming from the former Mpumalanga, but I think we are being assisted by National. Last year we allocated 75 million, which we have managed to spend on time for the first time in the history of that municipality. And with this year we have been earmarked for 64, which at the present moment we are at 50%, which we are the leading municipality at the moment in the province. We had a meeting last week with the MEC for local government. So that reflects a good of the municipality. We might have failed to capture that, because it was going to give the picture of the situation on the ground. We also, there's also a question from a member regarding the borehole. We have tried to analyze the situation as far as our borehole is concerned. We have appointed a service provider called Water Dog. Then they gave us a report about the status of our borehole. Then, in some of this, looking at the report, there was a suggestion, as the honourable member has highlighted, to say where we found that those boreholes were contaminated. We therefore took a decision to advise the community not to use that water for drinking, but maybe for doing something else, but not for human consumption. We have already done that. The farm we have discovered that they are not working. For example, 3 at Mbuzini, if I'm not mistaken, were agreed to say they are not working, but then there was a decision to say the dwarf is going to assist us to revive them for the purpose of assisting the community, because the dam for Mbuzini at the moment is dry. Then it does not fall within our competence. It's the provincial competence. However,
insurance of the premium, the NCC responded, committed them to say they are going to assist us. And they visited us last week on the ground looking into how to assist us so that we get water there. There was also a question on the monitoring of the water from the agricultural yes, we do not have a plan. However, this is not a problem that is there because the government is dry. Even the farm workers there are struggling. The harvest is getting off the expansion sugar cane. Farmers are struggling. They requested the province to assist. We have got a problem of water in the whole of the area. We don't have this problem, but we highlighted, especially during when there's a rainy season, only to find that there are chemicals in some of the plants. But we have never had a problem. We have a feeling that if we don't have a system to monitor, but we never had a problem that has troubled the community. On the issue of the sanitation, for the first time, the municipality has completed a sanitation plan. And we have also worked together with FAF and Ms. Linda Taya to assist us in this. But we have been advised to say that the sanitation system that we've been using for the past years is not good for some of the areas. Those areas will need to be done because of the underground water pollution that there. We therefore took a decision together with us to say we will be advised to say which is the best challenge. However, that report and the challenge was presented to both the provincial cabinet and to us. They are aware. But we have completed 400 VIP toilets at Gazebo 1, which were the last to be funded by us. After that, we then said, no, let's discuss to say what strategy and the type of the VIP should we then have for the future, so that, as we have been advised by the specialist, to say, let's change the strategy. I think we are in that situation under control. And there was also a question to say that previously, when this leadership visited the province, there was a good presentation in the office, but when they went on the ground, no problem. At that time, this administration was not there, but I remember there was such a story with regard to the sanitation, where the leadership visited the VIP at Gazebo 1. That is the area we have dealt with this leadership. We have overcome that problem. Now, if we go there with you, you will all be happy. That is the reason the executive council was also held during the outreach 14 days, 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. In terms of the skills, the issue of the skills is a challenge to the Republic. We acknowledge. In Goma municipality, we think we are part of the Republic. We do have a challenge with regard to skills dealing with water issues. At the present moment, I have to indicate that we rely much on the assistance from DWARF. However, we have prepared an advert for the sanitation manager, water control manager, which we felt after our meeting, because we had a fear when we were invited to say, we raise that question. Then we started preparing. Mm-hmm. So hoping that is one of the priorities that we are going to implement. However, the task that was given to Mr. Dorda, it was an additional function. He's doing something else. But after this meeting, according to our strategy, we need somebody who is doing it every day. But Mr. Dorda is doing it once a week, and Brad is handling it once a week with us. But now we need somebody who is going to
assist us every day so that when we come next time, we will be able to make you happy and be very much optimistic about us. We are confident we'll be able to do that. You will recall to... Thank you, Chair. There was also a question to say, how do we test or how do we assist it when the community wants to have their own borehole? We have advised community members to say when they want to go and direct their own borehole, they must first notify the municipality. So that we assist them to get the specialists to look into how they do. However, in most of the areas in Goma, we have never got such a request. It's only the Manus Park community where we had such a request, which was done. It's not the municipality that is responsible. We only give them permission. Then at their own expense, they request consultant to assist. From the municipal side, we give permission and get our people to assist them to say to go and see at the site, and by they do pay and do everything for themselves. Okay, we might have maybe omitted very important area of our report. The funding from MIG, the direct assistance we get from Dora, our interaction with the CPLG, the assistance we are getting from the service provider, which I have already mentioned, and also to indicate that the water quality is not so bad as our report. We might have failed to present the real situation, but it's not that much bad. It is also true that we rely to two main drivers, the crocodile and commanding. We don't even have a problem of cholera in the area, which might be a strategic way of saying to us there's a problem there. You know, it's not that much. It happens. So that's the reception to say we are trying our best as a well municipality. We are trying to convert the system from the old system to a new system as a second chair. That will be my comment and my response.
Thank you.
The witness in our report that the honourable member indicated that we could not indicate what actions have been taken in many areas. For example, the issue of having the five service provider dealing with chemicals who are contracted by the municipality for 5 years, not part of the report, which if we had included it, it was going to assist the committee to say the leadership that there is
something happens, because those are people coming from us, so I didn't want to have difficulties in the time. So that has been also a weakness from our side. And also to say that all the issues in the boardroom, we have also an independent service provider that was appointed by Clark, work with us to highlight challenges in as far as those boardrooms are concerned. And after that report, we had a meeting and requested those service providers to attend to the various boardrooms. However, the issue of saying how to treat the boardroom, I think Mr. Sporta, during the presentation, Chair, indicated to say at the moment we have a difficulty, but there's a plan for us to buy some tanks so that the water from the borehole will then go to the tank, we treat the water before it then goes to the community. That's what we should have also reflected in our report.
Covers many villages, and I think in as far as quality of water. water, we're going to have a development program. And of course, one that is also underway is going to be constructed as you must say, it's budgeted for. It's going to be started as soon as possible because already tenders have been advertised and the construction is going to start as soon as possible. Also, that scheme does not only cover one village, it covers a number of places, about eight. So I think the situation in Komati is going to improve. I would also want that to be included in the report because it also speaks to water quality because it's a water purification plant. And they have already indicated that the boreholes that are not in good condition, they are not working anymore. We try to stop them because we realize that they are still, they will cause trouble to our citizens. In short, Madam Chair, thank you very much. And if you were my politician, we don't know all these details. But now that I'm here, there is a lot that I learned myself that I'm going to make sure that we improve. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mayor. It is our pleasure that you have come here. We just wish all the mayors to have followed your example and not send the technical people to come and present because it is a critical issue. It derives from the constitution of the country and it derives from the legislation. And those that need to ask voters are the politicians and also those that need to implement the parliament. We really appreciate that you came and I really want to emphasize, I want all the other mayors do what you are doing about to come to this yourself here. We expect the undertakings that you have made. We look forward, of course, you know, when you make an undertaking to the summit, we follow you. We have oversight over the after the summit team. We really think that I suffer from the task that you have committed yourself. To be addressing all of these areas because we think that all of us have a responsibility to make sure that people are safe in this country, especially in the situation of water. So to your short focus, thank you very much for your generous presentation. Honorable members, just a bit of an update. We have been able to get, I think, another for those municipalities that did not arrive, we have been able to get there, I think, one or two. So that has indicated that they need that they must come tomorrow and not today. So there's a slight improvement, of course, thanks to the extent of what they really want. But of course, we are continuing to follow up with them. With the threat of Section 25 or something, I think we'll 75 hanging over the next week that has come, that will be implemented. Let me secondly also say that we are going to adjourn for lunch now. We will have to come back at 3 o'clock when the House adjourns after the President of Nigeria. We will come back here because we've got Sukkot number district. Municipalities that will present their after when we come back from the joint city. The water focus, thank you very much. Also, I think we that they will present, and then we've got Buffalo City also that will present. We'll talk to every of them in terms of another time. We will be served when we come back. So we've got three different presentations.